Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. The Inside Analog Photo radio program is all about the traditional photographic process. We talk about all aspects of analog photography, including the hybrid workflow. You can find out more information over at www.insideanalogphoto.com. And of course, Inside Analog Photo is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. These guys have the coolest instant photography materials known to mankind. They have, of course, the pack film in 3.25 by 4.25 and 4x5, color and black and white. They have the Instax systems in the wide format, the Instax 210 camera and film, and of course the Instax Mini in the Instax Mini 7 and the Instax Mini 25, both in color film. Beautiful stuff. There's nothing cooler than instant photography. You get a print, because if you don't have a print, you don't have a real photograph. This is great fun stuff. This is great for art. This is great for business. This is cool stuff. You definitely want to check them out over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends over at Photo Publicist, providing worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development for the photographer, turning photographers into celebrities. You can find out more information over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the highest quality work known to mankind anywhere on this planet. Unbelievable developing, scanning, and of course, output on high quality Fuji Crystal Archive. Unbelievable cool stuff these guys are up to. And remember, you don't have a photograph unless you have a print in your hand, and you need to print your pictures. This is important. You need to supply proofs to your customers and even print your own work, because it's not about looking at it on a monitor. It's about holding a print in your hand. Definitely check these guys out at Richard Photo Lab, of course, at richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5. DR5 Chrome Black and White Developing, that turns your black and white neg into, that's right, black and white chrome. Unbelievable stuff. www.dr5.com. Our friends over at Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com for the camera strap that will not slip off your shoulder, guaranteed bar none, the coolest strap around. Our friends at Iger Studios for the finest quality drum scans known to mankind, igerstudios.com. Our official media partner, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, for all things traditional photographic process on the web, www.apug.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, over at www.eastmanhouse.org. Today on Inside Analog Photo, we're going to be here with Carrie Norton. Carrie is an editorial and portrait photographer out of Birmingham, Alabama. He's doing great work worldwide. He shoots all kinds of yummy film, medium format, large format, black and white, color. A lot of cool stuff going on with Carrie. We're going to talk to him today about his photography, his use of film, and what he's up to. Carrie, how you doing today?
Doing great. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. Great to have you on the program to talk about yourself, your photography, and all this cool stuff you're up to.
Thanks for having me.
So, Carrie, let's explain to people what you do, and then we'll dig in a little deeper.
Well, I'm based in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm not great at defining exactly what kind of photography I do. Anything portrait-related, travel. I do some corporate stuff here and there, maybe 4 or 5 weddings a year, tops. And corporate reports, anything that's creative and have a lot of freedom to just make beautiful images is really what I'm after.
So, Carrie, tell us how you got involved in photography. Is this something you picked up as a kid? How'd you get into wanting to document life and take pictures and do all this cool work?
Well, I have an older sister, and like many younger siblings, I sort of took after everything that she did. She's about 5 years older than me. So when I was in high school, she was in college, and she did some photo stuff in college. I was in college, so I did some photo stuff in college, and my dad got me a camera. I started shooting, and then I moved to London and kept on shooting. And then there's an exhibit at the Victoria and Albert Museum in London, and the guys that are in some way responsible for sort of the resurgence of LOMO stuff, the LCA and all that, they were part of an exhibit at the V&A, and you could check out a LOMO. And I checked it out, and you were supposed to take pictures of the museum and all, but I just sort of ran around the city and brought it back in time for closing and fell in love with it, bought one, and that right there is probably responsible for changing the way I shot. They have a book called Don't Think, Just Shoot, and I took that to heart then. It's sort of how I think about taking photographs now. It's more about a moment more about what's happening and surround and being present in what's happening rather than getting a technical, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Typical photographers want to obsess with gear and super crazy sharp whatever brand XY cool lenses and 300 line per millimeter and blah, blah, blah. And really when you sort of ditch that to a point and just grab anything, the cheapest camera you can get your hands on and just shoot, then you don't worry about, is it exactly perfectly framed or is it exactly this or do I have this right deal here and the rule of whatever. It's just like, dude, I'm just going to burn off some film and see what happens. And it's really refreshing to be able to ditch that requirement of technical superiority.
And the nice part about it, too, is, I mean, that was in 2002, I guess, and I was still fairly new in doing photography. So opening myself up to sort of the emotional side of it, the feeling side of it, really helped develop the way I wanted to take the photos. And now I can shoot with anything, really. I mean, I can have the super sharp optics. I can have the whatever camera. And I can still shoot in a similar way and feel comfortable engaging subjects the way I want. Like having access to a camera on the front end that enabled me to shoot really freely. Now I can shoot really freely and be fairly comfortable with just about anything, which has served me well over the years.
Has there been any photographers that have really inspired you to say, I'm really digging this guy or girl's work? Is there anybody that really had a heavy impression on you when you were building this skill set?
It's a hard question to answer, I think, probably for a lot of people. Obviously, people like Cartier-Bresson are big influences. Walker Evans. It's funny, when I lived in London, I did a series of sort of hidden camera photos of people on the subway before I had even heard of his whole book. That is exactly that. And somehow I connected a lot with that kind of work. As I mentioned earlier, Fabian Monheim is one of the main guys that did the Don't Think, Just Shoot book, and that was a big influence in loosening up. And then if I had to pick one photo group or whatever, it would be Adam Broomberg and Oliver Chan. They were connected with, I think it's an Italian magazine, Colors, and they just do unbelievable work. The first book I really got of theirs was called Ghetto, and they went to different places all over the world. Sometimes it was a retirement home, sometimes it was in Kurdistan. They went to different places that they found to define as a ghetto in some way, and it's just fascinating work. Those are the two most modern people that have really inspired me, and then obviously Avedon. I mean, there's so many people who have done such astounding work. Irving Penn. Pick somebody that everyone else would say, and they've probably impacted me. The oddballs are Oliver Chan and Adam Broomberg from something that's modern.
There's an interesting group of photographers in Birmingham. You wouldn't think of Birmingham as being this little hotspot for photography, but really, there's quite an amazing bunch of people there that are shooting cool stuff.
Yeah, we've really got an amazing community here. Brian Johnson, I think you've talked to him before. We got Jason Wallace, Caleb Chansey, Rob Culpepper. I'm sure I'll leave somebody out and I'll feel like a jerk, but I mean, we really have an amazing group. People come and go and move away and move back. Bob Miller just moved to Syracuse, and he's one of the most frustratingly talented photographers I know. He didn't start here. I mean, he didn't grow up here, but he is definitely part of our little group. Honestly, I only know a handful of people that I'm really close with, but every time I turn around here, I swear there's somebody doing really incredible work. This kid Miller, Mobley, started shooting a bunch of stuff and getting a bunch of recognition. Yeah, it's quite a little community, and we've got people doing all sorts of different work, too. Like Jason Wallace, for instance, goes to India, to Africa, and does all sorts of nonprofit work. Brian Johnson's all over the place, too. He's shooting weddings in Canada. He went to Africa with Hanson. I mean, we've got a bunch of really cool stuff happening here.
So do you find that with such a vibrant community in Birmingham and everybody that's shooting that, it's a friendly environment, everybody's sort of buddies, and they help out each other, or is it somewhat a very heavily competitive environment as well?
That, I think, is one of the most important things that we've got going for us. You would think in such a small area that the competition would be really fierce, and we do occasionally go head-to-head on things like bidding and different jobs like that, but more often we shoot such different work that we don't overlap all that much. The only thing I want is like my buddies to get work that they are going to be great at doing and really want to do. So even when it was me and Brian and Jason crammed in one little office, we never really had a big competitive fight. We just had a relationship that was outstandingly uplifting. All I would want to do with them is try to figure out how can we make your work better, and then they did the same thing to everyone else. We we really have a fairly selfless community. I mean, everyone I work with in general, we're just here to help everybody out. I want my buddies to do the best work they can, and if I can help them do that, that's great.
I think people a lot of times figure, okay, well, there's another photographer in town, and they're a competitor. I think that if people really sort of opened up and said, hey, these guys are my buddies as well, and you help each other out. Let's say that, Carrie, you're booked one weekend, you can send a job to your buddy. And if he sent it to you and you guys start collaborating on things, and you can still have a very creative environment, but you can share stuff in between everybody. It typically works out better if everybody's happy.
Absolutely. And we're really free with the ideas that we have, equipment that people need. It really is a unique thing. I'm really happy to be in a situation where I've got such a warm environment of other photographers where I can say, all right, I'm working on this kind of project and I need help with it. I can ask anybody that I think would have any knowledge on it, and it works both ways on just about everybody. It's really nice.
So let's talk about work. You shoot weddings, you shoot portraits, you shoot all kinds of cool stuff. What do you like doing the best?
What I like doing the best is anything where I get to engage individuals. Weddings are okay. They're an amazing chance to create beautiful images that make people really happy. Portraits or editorial, stuff like that, where you might have more than one thing going on is great. But what I connect with the most are portrait sessions or just individual jobs where, say, there's a story about one person or it's an ad campaign for like a specific cause or something like that, where I really get to engage one individual, maybe two individuals, and really take time to understand who they are and what they're trying to say and figure out what they're doing that's important. Those are the big things for me, is when I get to engage a really quiet, slow level. For instance, I've done two jobs this year that I really connected a lot with. One was a group of mentally impaired or physically disabled. And it's like a community group for them that one of my big clients organizes. They just get together every Sunday, they eat lunch, they have community. And it was brilliant because it's sort of a hard group to bring together. And this sort of Sunday club is what they call it, enables them to have community. It brings them all together and lets them share a meal and share time. And I just did a whole portrait series. I think I shot everybody there who was there that week. They just had such an honesty to them, and it was such a unique thing. There was no front. They just showed up, and I got to spend time with the individual and make something beautiful out of just them showing up and bringing themselves. There was another job I did for a manufacturing company, and they're having sort of a cancer awareness push, and I got to meet people who either work for the company or customers of the company and photograph people directly connected to the company and make beautiful portraits of them that not only help that company, but tell their story. And I'm happy because I'm making photographs of people that have an interesting story. The company has a great promotional tool, and then the people feel special and get recognition for being really strong, amazing people. That's the kind of thing that feels so great, is when you get to photograph in some way that gives back.
That is really cool to be able to do that and to give back to community and people. So let's chat about film. You shoot a lot of film. Why are you digging film?
All right. I started out in film. Shot all the time when I was gone to other places after college with film. I picked up a digital along the way, really out of utility, and it's really been just sort of the staple of how I've shot. I mean, I have digital stuff. Certain jobs require or make the most sense to shoot it in a way that you can see it immediately. But I don't know, there's just something about the hands-on film, like I get to load it, I get to process it, I get to print it or scan it or whatever. I get to smell the chemicals, and I don't have to do all the crazy tweaking. I can shoot it how I want, I can process it, scan it, print it, whatever, and it's going to look great straight away. And it's the look that everyone wants. They try to make their digital look like, and I just shoot it, and it looks like that. You shoot film correctly, you don't have to do much to it. And that's so simple. It's so beautiful. And there's this creamy word I hear a lot as explaining it. And I can't do much better than that. There's just this smoothness, and it's so rewarding to go from start to finish.
It's very unique, and you don't have to waste time post-processing. Like you said, digital is fine for certain commercial gigs where you need to turn it right this second. But otherwise, like you said, you can't match film.
Yes. And then there's another big thing for me. I know that there are some sort of digital alternatives to a degree, but the cameras that I normally shoot, especially on a large format size, there's just no way that I've found to make people engage in the same way as when you put a 4x5 camera in front of them, and it takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes precision to get it right. And the results are fantastic and so rewarding when you develop your film, and you see it, and you hang it, and you dry it. But like that's just sort of bonus on the side. Whenever you pull out this camera and you put it in front of somebody, there's no escaping it. They can't get away from it. I can't get away from it. It's this huge thing right in front of both of us. And it's just such a unique way to engage somebody. Another big thing I like about film is with the 4x5s, with my waist level cameras, with rangefinders where I can sort of peek around the side, I feel so much more connected with the subjects in general as well. Because I don't have to completely obscure myself. I can have control of the camera and engage the subject eye to eye. Or I don't have to put this big plastic or metal box in front of my face to get what I need. I feel like shooting the cameras that I shoot, which are film, typically help me stay connected with what's going on.
No, it's very true because, like you said, you hide behind a big SLR. I think that waist level finder cameras, and even with the 4x5, is you have a connection and you can actually communicate. There's an unbelievable wedding photographer in New York City. His name's Andy Marcus. Fred Marcus Photography. Been doing this for decades. They do all the high-end stuff in New York City. I've had conversations with him talking about when he was shooting the Hasselblad. He wouldn't even really look, hardly ever, down at the viewfinder. He was engaged with himself and his personality, with who he was shooting. It's a different type of photography, and you get a different result because people don't think that they're really getting shot. It's a human interaction when you're not hiding behind a camera.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of times I'll shoot, and people don't even recognize that I'm shooting and winding and shooting and winding because I'm having a conversation. And whenever the photographer is free to interact and sort of surreptitiously take the photos that he needs, it's so much more natural, and they don't even notice most of the time.
Kira, let's talk about, to start with, film. What film do you like to shoot? Color and black and white, what's your emulsion? What do you like?
All right, well, for black and white, 4x5, I shoot HP5. I shoot that because it's a faster speed. The grain still looks great. I'm really happy with how it looks. Just developed straight, I shoot it straight. If it's 400, I shoot it at 400, and I've always been really happy with the way it looks. I've processed in T-Max Paper Developer. I've processed in D76. It always looks great. It's not too contrasty, but I still have a lot of flexibility with what I need to do with it. I shoot a lot of HP5, 35mm as well. I do shoot some T-Max and Tri-X every once in a while. I've got bulk load of both of those that I pop in there every once in a while. I shoot the Kodak BWCN. I love that stuff. In 120 and 35, it looks great. Lots of latitude. I just shoot it like color film with a latitude of C41, and it's great. I've shot for years the Kodak NC stock, and I'm a big fan of that. I have been tinkering in the last few months with the Fuji stock, with the Pro 400H. I've done the 800Z a little bit, but of course it's discontinued now. So I think they just took the 400H out of 220 as well. So, I mean, I want to do more work with the Fuji stuff, too, just to see what kind of palettes it can offer and that kind of thing. But typically, the films I'll shoot are going to be the Ilford HP5 and Kodak NC, typically 400, sometimes 160. And I'm just now really starting to play with the Fuji.
Are you shooting your color, the box speed, a stop, over, under? What do you like to shoot?
I typically shoot about a stop and a half to two stops over with color. Mostly because it's just next to impossible to blow a highlight. And I'd much rather expose for the shadows. It helps with saturation and contrast. You can make dull light look amazing just by shooting it slower than you're supposed to, or overexposing it a bit. It's different with black and white. I shoot at box speed at black and white. But for color, I like to give it at least a stop, stop and a half, sometimes two stops and more, depending on the situation.
Are you metering in camera, or are you always hand metering?
I always got my hand meter ready to go. The only time I'm not hand metering is if I'm shooting digital. I look at the histograms most of the time for that to make sure I'm in the range I need. But if I'm shooting film, I'm hand metering. Even if the camera I'm shooting's got a meter built in, I just ignore it. Like, I'll go on a lot of trips and I don't even bring a meter, and I'll just look at the light and figure out what I need to shoot. Sony 16 and Shade 8 are a great place to start with understanding where I need to be exposing. Shade 8 for me is probably like a Shade 2.8. Sony 16 is like the perfect gray. I'm still a little overexposing off of that. But if I'm not metering, I'm just guessing.
There's enough latitude with C41 film, and even the black and white as well. I mean, really, it gets to the point where you know what you're doing, and you just shoot it, and it works.
I was just in San Diego hanging with Jonathan Canlis at his Film Is Not Dead workshop, and he was talking to some of the people there about just how close to impossible it is to overexpose to a point that you can't use it, especially with color. There was a girl that had shot some stuff, and she realized that she had metered it wrong, and she was like six stops over. He was like, don't worry, it's going to look amazing. That is something you could never, ever, ever do with digital. And it really will. I almost guarantee that those things that she overexposed so much are going to look fantastic.
Do you find that you have clients that hunt you out because you're shooting film, or do they care? What kind of feedback have you gotten from the people that are paying for this work about what you're doing?
I get a healthy mix of everything. My editorial work, they don't even care what I'm shooting. They just want it to look great and be turned around quickly. And I'll bust out the 4x5 for editorial work every once in a while. Typically, that's errors on the side of digital. But I've got a few clients that really, they know film. They've been in the industry long enough to understand the look that they want and how they can get people to give it to them. And typically, that means shooting film. So I do have a set of clients that will seek me out because they know that I'm going to shoot the way they know they're going to get what they want. They understand the process well enough to know they want this, this is how to get it, and this guy does that. A lot of people don't have an opinion until you educate them, but I have a healthy mix of both. Some people who just need the work done and some people who come directly for shooting with film. Whether they know I'm shooting with film or not, they know that there's a look and that's what they want.
So let's chat about gear. 4x5, medium, 35, what are you shooting with, what do you like?
Let's see, large format, I shot for a couple of years with a Speed Graphic. I just replaced that with a Crown Graphic. They both still work, I shoot them both still, but that is so perfect for travel. Anything studio or where I have more flexibility with time, I'm shooting a Toyo View, another basic standard rail system. The folding camera, I think it's 137 and the other one's 127. The view camera is a 210. I mean, it's super basic stuff. The 8x10 I shoot on is technically Jason's. It's a Cambo. 35, I've been shooting Leica M4P for a while and really love that. I do have a Canon system in place. The 1Z is a great camera. Does everything I need. And if I need to move quickly, that's definitely my go-to for 35. 120, I flip-flop depending on what I'm shooting. Typically, for a commercial job, I'll shoot the RZ67. And if it's either a wedding or personal work or just whatever, I'll shoot the Rolly. Those are the ones I gravitate towards the most. I've got some other little weird guys that I'll play with, like old brownies and stuff like that. And I'm in the process for months of making a 4x5 out of Legos. I just haven't finished it yet.
Soup and film, are you cooking your own stuff? Are you sending things out? What are you doing in-house and what's going away?
I've got a lady in town that has been developing black and white basically as long as I've been alive. I trust her with just about anything. I've been taking her most of my black and white lately, mostly out of convenience because I haven't had time. Typically, though, I'll do my true black and white just in my bathroom. I've been on the same soup for a year and a half. It still rocks. Color-wise, everything right now goes out to Richard Photo Lab. A lot of black and white stuff, if it's a commercial gig, will go to them too. They're the best lab. I couldn't ask for a better lab out of them. Their whole idea is we want to make all of the stuff look exactly how you want it to. Most stuff goes to them right now. I'm probably going to be investing in my own lab system stuff and start taking care of a lot of that stuff myself. It'll be nice to get back in-house, but I guarantee I'll still send stuff to them all the time just because they have such an obsession with quality. And you communicate, they get it done. It's amazing.
No, they do a great job. They really do. So on output, do you find clients want just a digital file? Do you find that they want proofs? Do you do albums for the weddings and some of these other editorial gigs? What happens to your photography after you've done and you shot it and it's developed?
I feel like clients on a non-commercial side think they want a disc, but they really want prints. Sometimes you have to sort of wrangle them into having something physical in their hands. That right there is where the photograph really lives, is in print. once the client sees that, even if you give them 10 little prints, they're going to understand that photograph better than you could ever try to make them on a computer. On, say, a wedding, if I shoot a wedding for you, there's a very good chance you're getting an album. That's how I want the experience to be, and I want them to really understand the way these photographs are made to be engaged. I've got all the computer junk that makes it look pretty on my end, but if they've got some cheapo laptop with no color calibration, they're not going to have anywhere near the same experience as I am. All you have to do is get the print in their hand, and it goes so far. So, I mean, typically for a wedding, as an example, they would have an album in their hand. For 2011, I'm working on just a brand new idea of what they're going to get, and it's going to be either like a subset of prints or even just a proof set, just so they can see it and really understand. And then when there's the time for commercial clients, if it's like a short edit, say 10 photos, I'll try my best to have proper emulsion output in their hands whenever I give them the disc so that they understand how it's supposed to look. Most people I work with get it already, but there's nothing like getting that print in your hand. It's like getting your film back from the developer. You see it, and it's like Christmas, and it's the same experience for other clients. A lot of them just haven't had that experience of getting that printed image in front of them in so long, they've forgotten how fantastic that can be.
You're right. If you don't have a print, you don't have a photograph. You need to have something that's tactile and it's real that you can hold, and it's a physical product.
It goes so far. I honestly believe that's where a photograph lives. I mean, all these digital pictures that everyone has, your hard drive crashes, you're done. You have it printed out, and the experience overall is so much better just to have it physically in front of you, which is another reason I love shooting film, because you get that tactile experience all the way through. I wind the film forward manually with basically every camera I use with any consistency. I get to put it in and wind it forward and hear that hush of the shutter, and then I get to take it out and develop it or send it off and feel the negatives in my hands and then see the final image printed out. That's when it's done, and that's when it feels amazing.
What do you look forward to in your photography that you haven't got to do yet? What do you want to really go shoot? Is there a place, a person, subject matter? What do you want to do that you really have this burning deal to go shoot?
I've really been lucky in a lot of ways. A lot of my list has been knocked off. The biggest thing in terms of desire is I love to go anywhere where I have not been there. Any country, I like states and little towns that I haven't been to. Anything where I get to go to a different place and experience a different culture or different people or language or just anything that I was not previously familiar with. Anything that will open me up to different ways of life and expand my brain just in how people work. Like, that's the biggest thing for me, is getting out, going to places that I'm unfamiliar with, and figuring out what they can teach me about being alive.
So, Carrie, tell me about, specifically in general, weddings. I know a lot of people find wedding photography, or they even find wedding photographers distasteful. They don't like it. And I think originally when you were shooting weddings to start with, you didn't really dig them as people would think you did. Tell me the story about how you got the grasp on sort of digging to tell the story of a wedding.
It's so true. When I started out in them, it was like a lot of people. It's a way to pay the bills. It's, I've got to go to this wedding. And I shot for a long time before I really learned to love it. I mean, there's sort of an industry negative idea of wedding photographers, and I think that guy exists, but you don't have to be that guy. It took me a while to figure out that sort of the disdain that I had for it didn't need to be there. There's three photographers in New York, John Dolan, Holger Toss, and Philippe Chang, who are three outstanding guys. I went up there and hung out with them for sort of a wedding. It wasn't even really a workshop. It was just, let's go hang out with other people in the mountains kind of thing. And we talked a lot, and I had, like a lot of people, this really negative idea of what I was doing with weddings. It's not as glamorous as so-and-so going off to these crazy places. In theory, I mean, you can actually do that. So I went up, was hanging out with John and Holger and Philippe, and we were really just talking about weddings and sort of my negative attitude about them. And I had this idea that my strong suit was sort of ignoring what the client wanted, and I just sort of made the images that I wanted to, and that's why I was good at weddings. But they made me realize that that's a really negative way to look at something that could be great. Really what's important is the commitment to making beautiful images. A wedding is the perfect opportunity for that. it really took me a while to change my own prejudices against the idea of shooting weddings. So now I'm excited. And I never thought I would say that. I never thought I would say that ever, that I would be excited to shoot a wedding. But now that there's a system in place and I have a healthy way of thinking about shooting a wedding, like, they can be really incredible things. And those guys really helped me understand that it was more a commitment to beautiful photographs than any of the pomp and circumstance of a wedding day. They're just incredible, giving people who are committed to making wonderful images and really being positive. I don't know that they would even say that that is one of their goals, but they do such an incredible job of just being awesome people.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it and try to stay as positive as you can on anything. It's just going to help make anything better. And I think you're right. A lot of people look at wedding photographers and shooting weddings is like being this big bummer. But really, I think to be able to be chosen and on top of it to be paid to document somebody's day like that is pretty cool.
Yeah, and it took a while for me to get to that, to understand that I see things in a certain way and I get to do that for somebody else. It took a long time to understand that that's kind of an honor. I'm glad to be in a place now that I can appreciate what kind of work that really is.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. So, Cary, tell me about where people can find what you're doing. You're putting a new site together, I know, but there's a lot of stuff online that you've shot, beautiful work. Where do people look at this stuff?
The most immediate place to find work would be just carynorton.com. That is what you're talking about. That's in the works of being completely redesigned and should be up within a month or two. And that should radically change. That should be a whole host of brand new work. Where I've been photo blogging for 2.5 years or so, I guess, is electriclion.blogspot.com or electric-lion.com, either one. That's a photo blog that I've 2 years updated every day. I've been trying to do it 3 times a week for 2010. And that's more sort of casual photos, different experiences that I'm going through at any given point. Less final projects and more sort of the day in the life or the month in the life or the year in the life. Stuff that's happening every day. CaryNorton.com or Electric Lion are going to be the two best ways to see it for now. Ultimately, the goal is going to be to roll everything into CaryNorton.com to have a unified way to present the work that I'm doing and the directions I'm heading and all that.
Yeah, this is great stuff, and I do appreciate you joining us today. This is fabulous photography, and I think that people should look at your work and just get some inspiration from it, because it is really cool, and it's different, but you're telling a story. It's organic. It's very cool. It's not contrived. It's just natural. It's great stuff.
I really appreciate it. I have a blast making it, and I'm glad there are people like you still talking about film and making sure people realize that it really is such a great medium for this.
It is. You can't beat photons landing on silver. It's pretty cool.
Totally. Absolutely.
Well, there you go. Cary Norton. Great guy. Excellent photographer. A very keen eye. And a lot of stuff going on with Cary that's very cool. Definitely check out Cary's website, www.theordinary.org. The Inside Analog Photo Radio Program has been brought to you by Fujifilm for their full line of instant cameras and film. And of course, fine quality Fuji Crystal Archive paper. Over at www.FujifilmUSA.com/professional, our friends at Photo Publicist, Worldwide Publicity, Strategic Promotion, Social Media Marketing, and Business Development over at www.PhotoPublicist.com, our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the finest quality lab in the country, RichardPhotoLab.com, our friends over at DR5 for black and white chrome at DR5.com, Upstrap for the finest quality camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder at Upstrap-Pro.com, our friends over at Iger Studios at IgerStudios.com, and of course our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group at APUG.org, and our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House, over at EastmanHouse.org. I've been your host, Scott Shippard, here on Inside Analog Photo. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.